the Haines Assembly approves a sales tax exemption for the nonprofit Friends of the NRA. And Skagway residents are invited to a forum about school staffing and a possible calendar adjustment for next year. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly on Tuesday approved sales tax exemption status for the nonprofit Friends of the NRA. The Assembly also heard testimony from Chilkat Valley preschool supporters. The preschool is asking the Assembly for a lease extension and waived rent. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
Friends of the NRA is the nonprofit fundraising arm of the NRA Foundation, which is also a nonprofit. They're both offshoots of the larger political and often controversial National Rifle Association. The FNRA applied for sales tax exemption status from the borough last month, but the vote was postponed because the application was from someone near Homer with no local information on the form. At Tuesday's meeting, FNRA Haines Chapter President Tim Holm explained what the organization does in Haines and said he was there to clear up misunderstandings about the group.
The Friends of the NRA is not the NRA. The NRA is not a nonprofit. It is a political monster. It's a huge organization. Friends of the NRA is completely nonprofit. In fact, it doesn't have any paid members.
Holm said all of the money raised through the FNRA goes into a national pot and is divvied up equally between the chapters. He added that the money goes toward purchasing things like safety equipment and supporting local groups like the Haines Hotshots and the Haines Sportsmen's Association.
We don't politic, but we're simply on firearms education, hunting safety, and programs like that.
The request came from Homer because that's where the state's representative lives, Holm said. The Assembly passed the motion 5-1, with Ron Jackson opposed. Jackson said he's against it because the Haines Hotshots are already a nonprofit and don't pay sales tax.
And the items that he was talking about that he was going to do, like buy some of the materials for the skeet shoot and things like that, were exactly what they were doing. So it just seemed like it was redundant. Is there a point where we would say no to somebody? I don't know. We've never talked about any criteria on whether we would do that or not.
The Assembly also heard comments from supporters of Chilkat Valley Preschool in the first of two public hearings. The preschool has asked the Assembly for another extension of its lease in the borough-owned building and for the borough to waive the $500 monthly rent. In the long term, the preschool is hoping to combine with the Haines Senior Center. The preschool learned on Tuesday that its backup plan of setting up shop in the basement of the Presbyterian Church was no longer an option as it didn't pass a fire inspection. Sarah Elliott, a graduate of CVP with a daughter enrolled currently, was one of a handful to speak out. She said not extending the lease and waiving the rent would adversely affect the students.
We need to the rent waived so that we don't have to raise tuition. Raising tuition could deter enrolled families and will draw funds from our tuition scholarship. The children who we provide a scholarship for will no longer have that option.
The Assembly will vote on whether to extend the lease at a future meeting, but an amendment was made Tuesday to include legal direction to update the ordinance. When the Assembly approved the lease extension last year, it was written in that it could not be prolonged again. Here's Assemblymember George Campbell.
I feel like it's deja vu. I'm sitting in the very same discussion we were a year ago, where we're hearing we've got these great plans with nothing substantial in front of me.
Assemblyman Mike Case said they should cut the preschool some slack.
The preschool people relied on not a promise, but close to a promise from the school that they could use part of the school for their preschool activities. The school, for I'm sure a good reason, decided that they couldn't do it. But it put preschool people back in a situation that they had not anticipated.
The second public hearing and vote are scheduled for the next assembly meeting on January 26th. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Haines Portage Cove Harbor Expansion Project is slowly moving forward, despite a logjam of required permits. At a special meeting last week, the Port and Harbor Advisory Committee, along with the Harbor Master and Interim Manager, gave an update on the $20 million undertaking. KHNS's Jillian Rogers reports.
This thing has drug its feet for so long that I would be concerned about it.
That's Don Turner, a member of the Harbor Committee. He isn't alone in his feeling that the massive project has stalled out, and he's not entirely wrong, but there is progress happening. So said Harbor Master Sean Bell and Interim Borough Manager Brad Ryan. In order for the project to continue, several permits are required. Bell explains.
The 401 is a state required permit, and that's the environmental aspect of our project. And we've already had that approved and done, which is significant. And then we naturally went into the 404 application. And during the 404 application, they came back and said, you also need the 408.
Bell said the 408, which came as a surprise to the borough and the engineer firm, was applied for in mid-December. As far as the 404 permit goes, it's in limbo until the 408 moves forward. The 404 permit is required in conjunction with the Clean Water Act and is necessary when dredged or fill material is discharged into water. The 408 permit is needed when a proposed development could potentially impact an existing Army Corps project, in this case the rubble mound. But there's good news in all of this. Bell said the studies thought to be initially required as part of the permitting process might not be needed at all.
We don't think we're going to need any additional studies to be performed. This is, again, preliminary. They still need to meet as a team and go through things a little more thoroughly. But good news overall.
Until last week, Bell said the borough has been taking a wait-and-see approach to find out what the Corps actually requires for the 408, and now it seems they might not need much else. Interim Manager Ryan said there is a concern, however, from the Corps in regards to how the current rubble mound would tie into the planned wave barrier, and if driving support poles into the seafloor would disrupt the current wave protection.
There's going to be an extensive monitoring plan that they're probably going to require. It's going to be underwater monitors vibration, on the rubble mound vibration, and they're going to write a caveat in there if it collapses during these operations, we're going to be financially responsible to fix it.
Questions about the cost of a monitoring plan and whether the borough can somehow insure against any damage to the existing structure were then raised by the committee. Ryan said those are questions they'll ask of P&D and, if necessary, legal counsel. Despite that good news of less mandatory studies that Bell spoke of, the Corps is still projecting April as the earliest that the 408 will go through, which Ryan called bothersome.
So we've been stressing to her that we're under a grant deadline, and if we can get pre-permit recommendations, we can still get the bid documents ready to put out before we get the permits in hand. It's not unusual to do that.
The her in that statement is Julie Anderson, a project manager and the 408 permit contact with the Army Corps of Engineers. Ryan said the harbor expansion project is at the top of the 408 permit heap and that the borough is pushing hard to keep the Corps' attention on it. Bell responded to concerns about the July 2017 deadline and whether it's a hard and fast date for completion. He said that deadline is a real concern. He added that an extension is possible if needed, but only if a reasonable amount of progress has been made.
I've talked with P&D several times on this subject and their past experiences with facing those deadlines and getting extensions and when should you apply for extensions. They feel we're definitely too early at this point.
The next regular Port and Harbor Advisory Committee meeting is January 28th. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
The Skagway School Board is hosting a community forum next week to talk to residents about staffing for next year and possibly changing the school calendar. Skagway School's student enrollment increased to about 101 students this year. That puts the district into a higher state funding threshold. Superintendent Josh Coffrin says the district will receive about $280,000 in additional funding this year. That could pay for more staff and programs at the school.
You know, we did that community feedback survey on, well, obviously hitting that attendance threshold of 101 students and the extra funding that comes with it, and what people would like to see in terms of enhanced programs and things like that.
The online survey is available on the school's website. Coffrin says about 50 people have responded so far, and he plans to make the results of the survey public at the forum. Also at the forum, the school board will ask residents for feedback on whether to change the school calendar.
One of the things that I noticed, and one of the things that the data bore out here this year, is that we had a lot of absences around the holidays, which isn't, you know, necessarily, you know, uncharacteristic of any school, but I want the board and the community and the parents to understand that we have some control over the calendar.
Coffrin says the district could adopt a non-traditional calendar that gives students a longer break around holidays to accommodate for those absences. Examples of the two calendars are available on the school website. The non-traditional calendar would give students and teachers the whole month of December off for vacation. Those school days would be made up with an earlier start date and a later end date to the school term, as well as no spring vacation. The community forum is scheduled for 7 p.m. Tuesday, January 19th at Skagway School. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.